Hi, I'm Pat Randall, and I am co-publisher, printer, editor, and general dog's body of Double Dagger magazine. Double Dagger is a 16 printed page format. What we try and do is ask people who are makers and designers and people who work with lino cut and work with printing in a third dimension, their visual output is something that we can represent in a newspaper. We are today at the Whittington Press, where I work with my father, John. I've worked here with him for the last 10 years, and we print solely by letterpress, which is printing from lead type, and we also have a monotype department at the press. And me and my father worked together on a publication called Matrix, which is a journal, a yearly journal, about fine printing, typography, all printed by letterpress. Aside from that, I run my own business, which is called Nomad Letterpress, which takes on general jobbing work, whereas the Whittington Press solely is a publisher of its own, mainly books, so it doesn't take on any commissioned work. But Double Dagger takes a month of the year to print, and aside from that, another month with all of the editing, packing, and all the other gubbins that goes with it. But the general editing of Double Dagger, we tend to do, myself and Nick Loring, who I do it jointly with, it tends to take up kind of evenings and weekends. And aside from the printing, which is done during one block of the year in August, it's really kind of a part-time passion. We are standing next to the Heidelberg Cylinder Press, which is the first press that you see when you walk in the door here. And this press really is the Rolls Royce of the letterpress printing world. This is kind of mid-70s this machine was made, and then shortly afterwards they would have stopped making these machines. But the attention to detail and the engineering in it is really astounding. It's obviously German, and we maybe get an engineer out once every 4 or 5 years if something small goes wrong. But I mean, touch wood, you know, the first proof you get off this machine every morning is pretty much tip top, which is very unusual for letterpress printing, which often takes a lot of fiddling around. And this is the machine that we print Matrix, the press's yearly journal, on, and also the machine that we print Double Dagger on. And it's a high speed, for the letterpress world, it's a high speed production machine. It can do about 3,500 an hour. We're on number 3 now, so, and it's a yearly publication, so number 1 was a couple of years ago we started. Myself and Nick, who is called The Print Project, and he's based in Shipley, that's why he's not here today. We worked together at the Glastonbury Music Festival for 3 years, and that's how we got to know each other. And Glastonbury used to get a music magazine called Q to publish their newspaper for their festival, and they had published 3 editions during the festival. The first year that we went, they had this crazy idea of buying a Heidelberg letterpress machine, and that's the same one that we've got at Whittington. And they brought this machine with the idea that instead of getting an outsider to print the magazine, they would print the whole thing on site using a hot metal typesetting. And so on the first year that we went there, they had brought a machine called a linotype, which is similar to the monotype. The monotype casts one character at a time and was really used for book setting. It's a more precise way of typesetting. Whereas the linotype is a faster process, and it casts slugs of type, which are used really for newspaper setting, or were used when newspapers were set by hot metal. And the Glastonbury guys brought a linotype, which blew up on the first day of the festival. So we're all sat around with this huge Heidelberg cylinder, and they needed a newspaper printed. They found that the only way to have that newspaper produced was to get polymer plates made from digital files. And for us, that was cheating. But you know, we did 3 years of that festival printing these newspapers from polymer plates, and that was really gave us the inspiration to produce our own newspaper from hot metal typesetting and handset typesetting. I think printing from polymer plates is a complete waste of time for anybody. The creative process is, for a printer, the pressman, the guy using the Heidelberg, the creative process is zero, because what you are given is a plastic plate the size of the machine, which is locked into the machine, and you've got no leeway. Really, what makes printing by letterpress, in my opinion, interesting and worthwhile is all those minute adjustments and attention to detail that you can do whilst on press and whilst composing. So the compositor has an eye and an attention to the creative process, which when printing from a huge plastic plate, that creative process is done by the guy on the computer screen doing the digital typesetting. And the press, the compositor is really reduced to a press man. Things which are designed in a setting stick with individual characters of type or even lines of type from the line of type machine have a life and a spirit and an imagination behind them which is not possible from designing on a screen. There's a difference there in the design process. So Double Dagger, after chasing people for their articles, which takes a fair bit of time, and organising the editorial side of things, once we've got our typescripts in, our manuscripts, we will give them to Neil, who is our monotype operator, and they will all be set in hot metal type. Once this is done, we make galley proofs of the type, so we proof it all up, we send it out to the authors, and they need to check for typesetting errors and any errors that may have been incurred in the monotype setting process, because our monotype system, every article is re-keyed in a keyboard. So there is the risk of human error creeping in there. But what we do not accept is editorial corrections after that point, because if you can imagine at the beginning of a paragraph, if somebody wants to change "and" for a 3-character word for a 5-character word, it'll alter the whole setting of the paragraph. Each line will need to be recast, which could take 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes it's difficult to explain this process to people because people are so used to using Microsoft Word and what have you, where these changes are just done at the touch of a button. So there are limitations to this process, and if anyone wants to make an author's correction after seeing the galley proofs, then they're told that that's not possible in a nice way. This is a monotype machine, so once we've finished printing with lead, it gets melted down in that big melting pot there. We get ingots made up there, and the ingots are fed into this melting pot here, and the lead from the melting pot in the monotype machine is injected by a pump into a mould, and on top of the mould sits the die case, and the die case has got every character of the alphabet in it. You've got a Roman and italic and all the figures and punctuation and so on, and the die case will move around in accordance to which letter it's being told to move to, at a rate of about 3 characters a second. And through the mould, there's a cooling system. So as soon as the lead metal hits the top of the die case, that it's been told to go to, the lead will solidify, and then the next character will go through the system. And the kind of system runs on and on like that. If that makes sense. It's a very complicated bit of machinery, and I'm not very good at explaining it, but that's basically how it works. I don't know how to run these, by the way. Neil did a 7-year apprenticeship. It's normal for working out how these machines run. You really have to be an engineer to work these machines, because every small sound or change in the certain variants of the machine, that will tell you that something's going to go wrong or something's going to happen. So Neil's really an engineer as well as a monotype operator. At the moment, we're printing these, which are patterns for borders that go around the edge of their decoration, basically. So that noise you can hear there is a hiss of the air. This runs off compressed air, this machine, because you see the keyboard there. It's got that bit of spool paper up there. And once Neil has tapped into the keyboard, it makes a hole in the spool paper, or two holes in the spool paper. And that spool paper has air blown through it, and that tells the machine which character to go through next. So after it's been set, we've got our galley proofs. We then simply cut and paste with a pair of scissors, get the page layouts of the magazine on the floor, and Nick will come down and we will have a good 2 or 3 day session playing around with artwork, working out how big, how small we can fit artwork in. We do ask people when they contribute an article that they have some sort of an idea about what they would like to use for their artwork, and we give them an idea of the space and the area. But it's only really once everything comes together that we'll know how big and how small an area we can work with. Once we've got the paste up, then it's time to go to press, and we have the whole of August put aside for printing Double Dagger. And it takes about a month. I think in the last issue there was about 30 runs on the Heidelberg, see, and each run of black text takes 1 day, but each colour run you can do 3 or 4 in a day, really. There's constant fiddling on the press, but once it gets to 4 p.m. the composing has to stop and you just have to press the button and go for the printing.
We've got to put it much slower.
Okay.
And you can keep much better control.
So there are always limitations in terms of how much can be done in the designing competition, which is not ideal. You know, I could spend 3 or 4 days imposing each page and getting it dead perfect and getting everything exactly how it should be, but for this we just need to get it done, and so there is an element of it being something of a there's an element of getting on with it. As long as I print the black text to as high quality as possible, sometimes some of the laser cutting bits of artwork that don't come up to top standard, I don't mind that. There are limitations with what we can do with this process. The positives outweigh the negatives, and it looks completely different to anything else in the world of print at the moment, in my opinion. So we're at Whittington now. Whittington Press was started in 72 by my old man. He was in publishing in London, and he started it as a weekend hobby, really. But it's expanded as new machines have come into the building. So the first machine is a Wharfdale, which my old man paid £50 for, and a few cases of type down there. And then in the mid-80s, the Heidelberg came in, which was craned in through the roof there. And that was to keep up with the pace of Matrix, which is the main use for the Heidelberg in the building. Although it's the press that we print Double Dagger on as well. I mean, all these art colleges that chucked away a lot of their letterpress departments once the Mac came in are now begging to have it all back. And there's only a finite number of letterpress machines left in the world. They're not making them anymore, obviously. The value and the prices are going up and up and up, and people are doing some interesting work with letterpress. After all, this is historically how print was made from 1450 to 1980. That was the main way of reproducing the printed word. And so from a historical point of view, I think people should know where the modern day methods and ways of working came from. And I think from a design point of view, it's a completely different mindset that you have when you're confronted with a setting stick and a case of type, and you need to put all of those letters together. You need to put the spacing in between the letters together. You need to put the line spacing in as a piece of lead and decide how much you're going to use it by handling a line of lead. And I think it creates a completely different mindset than doing a piece of typesetting on a screen, where a lot of those decisions are made automatically for you. There's certainly benefits from printing by letterpress. I mean, the touch, the feel, the smell even. I always encourage people to give it a good sniff.
The smell of printing. This is from an American friend of ours, going back to the 50s.
Sometimes when you enter the Old Castle Press through the front door in Union Street, this is in Los Angeles, the odour would be in the back of your mind, and by the time you got down the hall approaching the physical plant, the smell came right into your nares and marvellously assailed your olfactory consciousness and soul.
There's that spirit and energy in the design process that I hope people can connect with. I think what is important, as well as using these established methods of working with the monotype and linotype processes, is people who are using the processes to kind of combine it with more modern ways of working or creating three-dimensional objects to print from. I mean, for example, the front cover of Double Dagger last year was a laser-cut pattern designed by Nick Loring, who we co-published the project together. Possibilities of combining letterpress or printing from the third dimension with more modern ways of creating three-dimensional artwork are yet to be explored, really, and that's quite exciting.